time once again for a unique global perspective from the show that asks not what you can do for your country, but what your government is doing to you and other culinary fun facts. Throwing the O from Gitmo Nation East in Southwest London, I'm Adam Curry.
I'm John C. Dvorak here in Gitmo Nation West, Northwest, by Northwest, in Silicon Valley North. Or wherever.
somewhere over there on the West Coast.
Somewhere from parts that we used to watch have wrestling in the Bay Area when they before the WWF became WWE, before they existed. And there used to be this one guy that was one of these traveling wrestlers. I guess they went to all these various little areas, and they was always from parts unknown.
Yeah, from parts unknown. Yeah. Wait, wasn't that something on like the early Tonight Show? Didn't they say that as well? From parts unknown,
maybe
even on the radio.
I think it wasn't Ray Stevens. It was one of these other guys who was always like some sort of weird champion, and he always came from parts unknown.
Has he noticed?
Ray Stevens actually was. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens was this blonde-haired wrestler that was supposedly he was the world champ or something, and he was supposedly from Reno, even though he lived in Hayward, California. You could see him driving around once in a while. He had a big Cadillac.
And this is when the wrestlers didn't have these extravagant outfits. They just had kind of like wife-beater wrestling suits on.
Yeah, or just, you know, whatever the trunks were. But it wasn't like as elaborate as it wasn't as much show business as it was still fake, but it wasn't, you know, done quite this way. I'm hearing myself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was my fault. You shouldn't be hearing yourself now. Yes.
So anyway, Stevens was the master of climbing up to the top rope.
Oh, and doing the big
flying
slam
down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Superfly. When I was in college, that's what we always were waiting for, because all we had was Superstation WTBS through a terrestrial reception, like a coat hanger in West Virginia, mind you. And we'd always be waiting for the wrestling. It'd be Superfly here. Oh, shit. Oh, no. He's going to do the Superfly. We lived
there
for very little.
There was a couple of these guys. Yeah, apparently. There was also a guy there was always an Arab that was a bad guy. The Sheik was during that era.
You're right. There was always it was starting back then. There was always a horrible Arab.
Yeah, he always cheated.
Oh, wait a minute. I have something for you. Wait a minute. Okay, here we go. Speaking of Arabs, I have a quiz, John. You ready?
Go.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah.
The quiz is loading. 1 second. Okay. Who made the following remark? Hold on. The following remark. Obviously, he will influence the president to be pro-Israel. Why wouldn't he be? What is he? An Arab? He's not going to clean the floors of the White House. Who was that who was quoted saying this in the Israeli Ma'ariv Daily?
Who was quoted as saying it? I mean, or who are they talking about?
Yes. Who said that? Who made that quote? I'll give you the quote again if you'd like to hear it, John, for Double Jeopardy. Obviously, he will influence the president to be pro-Israel. Why wouldn't he be? What is he, an Arab? He's not going to clean the floors of the White House.
Let's see. Who would that be? Pat Buchanan.
No, that is Benjamin Emanuel, father of Rahm Emanuel. You think that's a little racist, perhaps?
Well, it's pretty funny.
It's outrageous is what it is.
So anyway, Rahm Emanuel's a character for sure. I hate to get in his way.
So we had the Sheik, the Arab. The Arab was the Sheik.
And he had, I think he was one of two or three guys who had this. There's a lot of these guys that weren't that competent. I mean, until many years later, where you had a wrestler like Ric Flair, who in his younger days was, he was in
my
a...
My God,
was in a,
you remember all these names, John. Were you a real fan? Were you into it?
No, but anyway, it's hard. How could you forget some of these guys? But anyway, Ric Flair was interesting because he was never in the WWE or F as it was once referred to. He was in a competitive conference, or whatever you want to call it, our show. And but he was one of the most he was always, I remember reading some wrestling forums once, and they kept talking about this guy. I never saw him. Then when I finally saw him, I said, oh my God. I mean, he was actually some, he was like an acrobat in his heyday. I mean, he would fly around and do all kinds of weird holds and spin around and grab, you know, just jump into the air, grab a guy by his neck with his legs and flip around in some funny way and get the guy in some crazy hold and then, you know, break his spirit. Anyway.
And what really happened is then the entrances started to be the whole thing, right? And the theme tunes and the chicks and the big explosions.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that a lot of these guys can't do that kind of thing. Because one thing, you can't do it if you're over so pumped up and so big.
You can't.
You know, heavy.
You're not very bendable.
You're not bendable. You're also too heavy, and you could really hurt yourself if you did some of the stuff. I'm sure Ric Flair hurt himself a lot, too, but he wasn't a big fat guy. But anyway, I think in the early days, there was always a few guys that were talented, actually could do athletic stuff, but most of them weren't. And so they had this supposed hold, which I suppose could be real, called the Claw. And I think it was, I think the Sheik and a couple of these other guys had it. And what they do is they couldn't really wrestle that well, but they grab the guy in the stomach with their big hand.
The Claw.
And then they would be like, oh, they've got him in the, he's got him in the Claw.
Oh, no, he's in the Claw. It's all over now, sports fans.
And this guy just be squeezing his gut. So,
I met Hulk Hogan. I told you that I worked with him. On ABC Circus of the Stars. I'm still trying to find video of that because that was fun.
Hogan was the guy I think that actually made.
He was the first mega global superstar in the arena.
And I never saw him as much of a wrestler either. I mean, his whole gimmick was that, you know, he was kind of meaty. He could run back and forth and bounce off the ropes and, you know.
Well, he was the good guy, right? He was fighting, you know, he was for all you Hulkamaniacs, all you little kids out there. You know, the Hulk is for good.
Yeah, he was. But he was an evil character for a short time, too, because they always have to do that.
You
got to
switch
guys
around, yeah.
But anyway, so he wasn't very, I didn't think he was much of a wrestler, but he had.
John, you can't say these things seriously. I don't think he was much of a wrestler. Well, no, John,
that,
no, no kidding.
No, when I say that, I mean that he, in terms of, you know, his ability to do all these crazy things in the ring, even though they're, you know, they're orchestrated, I didn't think he had a good variety. That's what I mean. So but his whole act was, I think, was a throwback to something they don't even do anymore. In the early days of wrestling, before it became highly commercialized, and I'm always wondering why, you know, that I don't see this at all. You'd see the same scenario go as follows. You'd have a good guy and a bad guy. And they go back and forth and back and forth, and the good guy start to win, and then he'd get the bad guy where he's just going to beat him, and the bad guy's going to lose, and the bad guy would get on his hands and knees and beg for mercy.
Yeah.
He'd beg and beg and beg and beg, and the good guy would say, well, okay,
all
I guess
right, I'll let
and
you.
Then
and then he'd come
right,
right, and he'd
gut.
Sucker punch him, right.
Sucker punch him right in the gut.
It sounds a lot like the early podcasting community, actually.
So anyway. So what Hogan, you know, he kind of evolved that into something kind of different. There was never the begging thing because he was always the good guy, but he had to somehow turn into something else. And so what he did, which he did every time. It was ridiculous. The guy, whoever he was wrestling, would be beating him, you know, and then he'd be beating him bad, and he'd be beating him worse and worse and worse. And then he'd get the guy, and he'd do something to Hogan, or he'd bang him over the head with a chair. He'd do something that would make Hogan snap.
The folding chairs are always good, yeah.
Yeah, and so Hogan would you could see it, you know, supposedly. He has snapped into a different person, and he's gone crazy. And so then he ripped off his shirt and he would be shaking, and then the guy would come up and keep doing what he was doing earlier, which is pounding him, but it wouldn't budge him. Hogan wouldn't budge because now he's like he's changed. He's morphed. And so into Hulk Hogan, get the Hulk thing was kind of, you know, a reference to the comic book. And so the guy would be pounding him, and then Hogan would do nothing but just stare at him and look mean, and the guy would freak, and then Hogan would go after him and then just brutalize him, and then he'd win the match. You know, that was never as interesting or as dramatic as the guy begging for mercy and then sucker punching the guy as soon as he got mercy. It was just, you know, that.
But you know, that scam, or that theater, I should say, has now spawned three generations. My little nephews, you know, my nephew is 9, 10 years old, and up until two years ago, it was like I could not be a bigger hero by showing up whenever I saw him with something from The Rock. You know, if I had a Rock T-shirt or the Rock. You know the Rock whatever it was, you know, then I was the hero.
Yeah, that's another character that kind of, you know, he didn't the stay Rock. Around too long because he had other things
well,
to
Jesse
do.
Well, Jesse Ventura went on to an interesting career in politics.
Yeah, but he never really fully left the sport. In fact, even when he was the governor, he did a he did some sports casting for the WWE McMahon. When he started, McMahon was has a weird ego. He's actually the son. If you research him, he's the son of a old wrestling promoter from way back when, and he's the one who's kind of modernized the sport. But then he got a hair up his ass about the fact he could outdo the NFL, so he came up with this extreme football, the XFL. And the selling point was it was going to be, the football players are all going to be, it's going to be similar to the wrestling. It's going to be choreographed in some way. There's going to be a lot of hot cheerleaders, and the football players were going to get paid a fixed salary.
Oh, right. Yeah, that'll fly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, is this guy crazy? So he's going to have, he's going to end it. I don't know what he was thinking. So the best players they could get were all crummy. And, they had us, I think they had a team in the Bay Area. And it's one of these things that I saw it coming, I saw it go, and I never thought to buy some XFL football hats or a shirt or something.
Oh, and of course, they're collector's items now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was a collector's item from the get-go.
Are you just one big eBay at your house? I mean, is everything just stacked up in boxes of cool shit?
No, that's the point. I don't get it. When some of these things come by, I don't, take action. I don't have a lot. I don't do any eBay stuff.
No, I think that you'd have so much memorabilia that you are like eBay.
Oh, I got a lot of junk. Yeah, I got a lot of junk.
There you go, junk.
I got a lot of junk.
That's what I meant.
But anyway, so that thing was a fiasco, and it was. But Jesse Ventura was one of the announcers on the thing, and he got himself into huge trouble with the media in Minnesota because he was still the governor, and he was going on about media. He was having to act like, the phony announcers that they have on these things. So he had to have this tough voice, and he had to talk about the puke media and how they didn't think much of their football league, and they're a bunch of pukes.
Really?
Yeah, it went on and on. And so when he went back to Minnesota, it was like, whoops. They were just giving it to him. And so he actually, I think they, it made him pretty, made his life pretty miserable. It was kind of stupid. Mm. He could never make up his mind what he wanted to do. I mean, he actually had a lot of potential as a politician, but I don't think he had it in him.
People seem to be pretty happy with him, with the job he did as a politician.
Oh, I don't know. If you talk to people from Minnesota, I don't think they're that jacked up about it. But now they put in Franken. I mean, it's like, obviously, Minnesota's our crackpot state.
Is he finally in now? I mean, is it official? Is the race over?
No,
or are they still counting?
There's a suit going on, but I think he's going to win it.
Mm. It's inauguration weekend, John.
Yeah, I heard that. And, well, who's getting in?
Well, I'm practicing throwing the O.
We got to throw in the O.
Have you seen Mevio today for the weekend?
No, I haven't yet.
You've fired up, man. While we're talking, just go take a look at it because I've essentially claimed.
Oh,
I'm claiming the whole thing. I'm throwing the O left and right.
Good.
So John sent me an image Friday, I think, while we were having some kind of meeting. That's when we're always on Skype sending each other silly stories and pictures.
It's called the back channel.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, see I'm throwing the O, right? You like it?
Yeah, you kind of made it look like a...
Well, wait a minute. Go to the end. In the beginning. It's right in the first segment.
Yes,
yeah,
right at the beginning, but it's more of a square that you're making. You didn't make it a perfect O.
Well, no, wait a minute. I do it again. That was just kind of the start. And also,
It looks more like an onion.
I'm throwing the onion, everybody. So this is the new Obama salute, which consists of making an O with your hands and holding that above your head. And
I'm totally convinced this is going to take off.
That's why I immediately started the wave, man.
Yeah.
I did like a 20-minute interview with Maggie on Daily Source Code yesterday.
Oh.
It was fantastic. Oh, yeah. fantastic.
Well, I first saw that O thing on a obscure blog, and somebody was grossed out by it, and which is that image that I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
And but as soon as I saw it, I said, "This is this. I could see this catching on.
Is, you know, yeah,
very similar to a, there. There you go again with. See, your O is not O it ish enough.
Well, you don't think I actually want to do the Sieg O salute? I mean, I'm just trying to bring it to everyone's attention.
Yeah, well, you did that. That's good.
That's my point.
But anyway, I think it would be cool if the, well, in some surreal sense, it would be cool if people, you know, at the Obama rally with at least 2 or 3 million people that are going to be at this thing, not seeing anything except the giant screens, which will be all over the place, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If they started doing it, so everyone,
oh, kind of like Queen, Radio Goo Goo, Radio Gaga. Throw me the oh no, yeah.
And I think that'd be cool if they were doing that. Don't you think?
I think it's going to look very cool in 40 years from now when people when are researching the great rise of.
You know, but we also would be good. I think
of the Fourth Reich.
I think Obama, in fact, should, when they have these military things,
he should throw the oh.
The goose. No, and reintroduce the goose step. I don't think
he would look good doing it, wouldn't it? But he could do a little twist to it, like, you know, a little Beyonce, like goose step, goose step.
Say if you had a military group going by with doing the goose step, goose step, goose step, goose step, and then they would all throw the O on bam, just bam. They throw the
bam,
O and then
oh,
they go back
oh.
to the goose step. I think would be extremely photogenic.
Oh, you're tripping me out.
Don't you think it would be cool?
Yes, I think it's frightening, but yeah, it would be cool. It would fit right in line with the expectations, wouldn't it? Now,
yeah, for us anyway.
Oh my goodness!
For us and our crazy audience that thinks that.
Yeah, who by the way we love dearly, love you dearly, audience.
Yeah, so, in fact, if you could get more of your ilk to listen to the show, then we're
yeah, we'd love you even more. Yeah. So I estimate I saw. I'm going to, well, it's hard to estimate, but at least 20,000 people in London today. And I'm looking at bbcnews.com at the homepage. Obama begins historic rail trip. Missing girl and man seen on CCTV. The secret below Grand Central Station. Funny, there's nothing about all these people who are who are demonstrating in the Capitol.
So you have a big demonstration going on, or was that today?
Yeah, that was today. It was interesting. You know, I finally found some websites that are kind of organizing these demonstrations. And so they had an announcement for today assembling at Trafalgar Square, which is, oh man, 10 minutes from here. So I took the kids up to go take a look. But it seemed like a lot of people were really talking about the demonstration that's coming next week on the 24th, which is interesting because the demonstration is going to start at the broadcast house, that is the BBC. People are apparently now really pissed off about the either one-sided or complete lack of reporting on the conflict in Gaza.
Is this organized by that communist group, the International Answer, or anybody, any of these people, the Workers' Party, or what? Who's doing this? Who's behind it?
Yeah, I have hold on a second.
Generally speaking, these kinds of things aren't even organized by people who are actually interested in what they're trying to get the protesters to bitch about.
Well, I do like the fact that they're protesting the BBC. I think that by itself is pretty cool. Let me see if I can find, I had the link somewhere. Stop War, this is it, hold on. Who's organizing? globaldayofaction.org.
Yeah, bullshit. So there's that's probably the same guys. They have a link. They actually have a pretty good online.
They're pretty well
matrix.
Organized. They're organized.
They have a really good. I actually tracked most of their sites down once years ago when they were in San Francisco doing it with that little sign that answer a.n.s. You know,
sign. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that thing is like I kept seeing it. I said this is odd. And it turned out to be the World's Workers' Party. It's a front.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a out and out communist organization, old style, old school, and they had a slew of sites that linked to other sites, and so you could find you find all these various sites, and then when you go and you but they always had a Dropbox for giving donations, and mm-hmm. the Dropbox would always trace back two steps back to the World's Workers' Party.
Mm-hmm. Well, here anyway, we go. This is the Stop the War Coalition. Does that sound familiar? The Stop the War Coalition was formed on September 21st, 2001, at a public meeting of over 2,000 people in London. The platform statement above was ratified at public meetings. They seem pretty. Yeah, so pretty
I'm sure
organized.
If you track these guys, if you track that back two or three steps, you're going to find these same people.
Okay. Well,
you're going to find, you know, Wesley Clark. He's going to be somehow involved.
Officers. Let's see the officers. Andrew Murray. Lindsay German, Robin Best, Steve Bell, Andrew Bergen, Communication Workers Union. Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, here we go. Interesting. The STWC Muslim Network, Iraqi Democrats Against Occupation, University and Colleges Union, Media Workers Against the War.
They're all the same. There's this, I'm telling you.
Pole Dancers, Anonymous. Oh, dude, I got to tell you the story. So I had to go to Guilford last night to drop off a couple things and pick some stuff up, including Christina's car, which I'd conveniently parked in the lot behind my buddy Michelle Harper's club, you know, the pole dancing club. I got 10 parking tickets. So I took Dexter with me, Christina's
boyfriend.
Why'd
you get 10 parking tickets?
Well, because I parked it there illegally for 2 weeks. That's 2 times 5 working days, and I got a ticket for every day. But it was.
Why was it illegal? I thought it was your buddy's place. It was a parking lot.
No, it's just a place I know I can park. It had nothing to do. It's not his. Okay. I mean, it's right behind his place. The council owns it. So I took Dexter with me, so that he could drive Christina's car back into the city. And my buddy Michelle just come back from Thailand, so I called him up. I said, "Hey, man, you know, are you in the club?" He says, "Yeah, come on by." I said, "I got Dexter with me, and he's 19. I don't worry about it. You know, it's no problem." So I took Dexter, 19, in for his first pole dance, for his first private lap dance, and I got him two girls to do a lesbian show for him. It was you should have seen his face. It was the cutest thing ever. And then he comes out from the private booth, right, with these two girls. And there was no one in the club. It was us, right? Because it was early. It was like 10 o'clock, and so it's us and 10 girls around us. And they're all like, "Oh, he's so cute. Was it his first time?" And Dexter does like, "Well, in this country, yes."
Oh.
Oh man, so funny.
What did your daughter say to that?
Well, that obviously was part of the mission, was to piss off my daughter, you know, put her on edge a little bit, you know, let her know that, you know, we're still men. And, no, she was cool because it was back and I said to Patricia, I said, all right, let's see what he tells her. And so this morning, Christina says, "Oh, well, Dexter told me about the lap dance." I said, "Oh yeah. What did he say?" "Oh, that it wasn't all that naked, dude." They're like completely naked, spread eagle. I said, did he mention it was two girls? No, he didn't mention that. Like, we're having so much fun with this. It's so mean.
What a dirty trick.
No, it's great. I've got something over him now. Forever. He's indebted to me.
Yeah, I guess. So last night they had, you know, there's a, you, I don't know if you watched Battlestar Galactica.
No, not really.
Before you say anything, I hate to tell, I know a lot of people watch this show. I think it's one of the most dreadful science fiction things ever put on. I thought it was bad the first time it was on the air years ago when they had, you know, the Klan from Bonanza run in the group. And then it's when they restarted the show like a few years ago. I watched the first episode because it's going to be a big deal, and I wrote a scathing piece on it. I should probably find it and blog it.
I remember this is a couple of years back, isn't it?
It was a number of years back.
Yeah, I think I remember.
And it
that.
Was so horrible that I just said, "This is bad." I would maybe tune in once in a while just to see the hot blonde. There was some invisible blonde who played by, I can't remember her name. I should remember it, but I can't. Actress who just really looks great on camera, and she'd be in some guy's brain, and she'd come out and she'd torment him. And that was kind of funny. But I couldn't stand the stories. They were slow moving. They were stupid. And so I said, so one of my bloggers, one of my editors apparently blogged up that it's going to be the last season, or this, I thought it was going to be the last episode last night. And turns out to be the last of many last episodes.
Yeah.
And what happened, of course, they found Earth and it was blown to smithereens and they were all disappointed.
It was post Obama, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. So when they said it's all happened 2,000 years earlier, and meanwhile, so I turned the thing on. I figured, oh, maybe this is worth watching. So I start watching it. There's nothing comes of the whole episode except the stupidity of the show. And I'm turning that. Maybe somebody can explain this to me. But one of the characters in the story who represents, I guess, the government or something within the group of these stupid ships, is standing there wearing a suit and tie. Like, he's wearing like an Armani suit with a an Armani white shirt and a tie that, from the looks of the width, is from like two or three seasons ago.
Uh-huh.
In other words,
when
about
it was probably shot.
Yeah, right. About 2005, and I'm looking at this going, what the hell? Who's doing this show that they would have some guy in a suit and tie, which apparently would have been from 2,000 years earlier by the timeline, and he's wearing a suit and tie like it's normal, and nobody's saying anything to him. And I'm thinking, why is the guy in a suit and tie? Why does anybody have a tie in the show?
A tie, yeah, particularly. What is the year that this supposedly?
Well, I guess, I don't know, 2200 or something like that. I have no idea, but I guess it's something like
that. They're so functional, ties, you know? They make so much sense.
It's just a ridiculous, it's essentially a phallic adornment from its traces back to various, movements within the fashion industry over time. But anyway, so right away I'm irked. And then I try to watch the story, which has got all kinds of crappy background music. So no matter what anybody does, they're having a hit or an orchestra hit, or they got dun dun dun, or they got some horrible music or something, some crazy sounds to make it creepier than it is. And you don't know now at this point in the story, you don't know who the Cylons are because they've all morphed into human lookalikes. And now that they've discovered the 13th tribe is apparently Cylons, and maybe we're Cylons, which is where I think this is headed, by the way, which is going to be quite annoying. But I'm not going to watch it anymore. I've had it. I can't stand the show, and I don't have much respect for people who think it's a good show. It's extremely slow moving, with all these dramatic BS pauses and the supposed relationships between this person and that person. And it's just terrible.
Are you practicing this rant for a twit tomorrow? Because where you're going to piss off the most people. I don't think people care.
Doesn't even talk about. Yeah, maybe I am practicing because I could bring it up again because I know it. Because I know there's a bunch of I don't understand. Anyway,
you just want to piss some nerds off. That's what you're into, man.
It's a good show. It's a good show. And that girl, that
you
blonde
love
girl,
it.
That blonde,
you love
really
pissing
pretty.
Off nerds. You sure
she's
do.
She's really pretty. She's really pretty.
Hey, is it just me, John? Or whenever I hear someone say stimulus package, does that make you laugh?
Well, now,
because I've had a stimulus package for many, many years.
Bada boom.
And I'd like to show it to you. Bye bye.
So I was watching this television last night. I saw something that made my heart stop. And I figure it's probably a somebody's either coming with an Adobe plug-in or something to create. CBS had one. They had a little spot art for like a upcoming show. Yeah. Next on CBS, da da da. And the art showing the characters, there's three or four characters, was done in exactly that Obama style with the cream, blue, and red, photos that have been turned into this, the poster that says hope and whatever. That cream, blue, and red.
Sorry, I just came to a screeching halt.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes, of course I know what you're talking about.
Why are the networks now using this? This is basically a callback to Obama.
Well, of course. They're getting into it. Everyone's trying to do something to attract viewers and make money out of it.
I thought it was pandering.
But I disagree with you. It's not pandering. You know how media works. We're even doing it. We're doing, what are we doing? Inauguration for Change. Wait a minute. Inauguration for Change.
If anybody out there has any knows what this plugin is or what they're doing to get this effect, because I know it's, I doubt if it's being done by hand. I'm sure somebody's come up with a quick way of doing it. I would send me a link.
What kind of plugin do you expect this is, though?
It's something where you can just send, or it could be like a series of one of those recordings that you can put into Photoshop. Hmm. It's somewhere you take a photo and you push the button, and then boom,
and
it turns into
out.
This.
Yeah.
Turns into the blue, cream, and red posterized.
Yeah, yeah, the style.
I can see how you can do it with.
It's probably something you can drop right into Apple Photo Booth as well. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Could be Illustrator too. I'm not sure.
Mm.
So I kept my notes from last week.
Okay, well, we might as well follow yours because you never are interested in my topics.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with
cocksucker.
You know, after I'm done with my three notes,
yeah, then we can get to mine. Okay. Well, I actually do some preparation for the show. You know, I have some heart.
So the things we forgot to talk about last week was that there was something about German measles. Apparently,
yeah, they're claiming an epidemic of German measles in Britain. I don't even have those notes anymore. Yeah, it's like 3,000 people have the measles and they're claiming an epidemic. And, you know, it's just another way of forcing people to take vaccinations. So they can inject us with nanotechnology to be tracked.
Okay.
Think about it, dude. This nanotechnology stuff is for real.
Okay, so there's a website a guy just sent me.
Mm-hmm. It's in the vaccinations, you see.
Yeah, okay. Michelle.
Go ahead, man. Go get your flu shot. You got to get another one, John.
I already got my flu shot. There's a website called...
You need an upgrade.
ObamaConomy. O-B-A-M-I-C. Oh, Obama Icon. I'm sorry.
Oh, hold on.
ObamaIcon.me.
Oh,
and
that
apparently you can push your pictures right through and get that effect.
ObamaIcon.me?
Well, it's what it says, ObamaIcon.me.
Is it Obama-icon?
No, it's well, the way it shows up here as ObamaIcon.me, but it could, I don't know if that's, is that a domain? Because it shows up on the top, at the top layer of the browser as ObamaIconMe.PasteMagazine.com.
Oh, hold on. .me.paste.
ObamaIconMe. No dot in this case.
Me.
But did you try typing in Obama?
Yeah, I tried. No. It didn't resolve.
Okay.
No, this doesn't work either.
No, but you don't have it right. Well, ObamaIconMe, all one word.
Yes, I got that.
.PasteMagazine.
Yes, .com.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get it doesn't resolve.
Oh, something's wrong with your machine.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Skype me
the link, will you?
Oh, there's a thought. I keep forgetting that you can do that.
Mr. Technology.
Anyway, back
so
to
that,
the...
So that's the website that does it? And that.
Well, it's a website that does it. I don't know if it's the
right.
Website.
I already have it from someone on Twitter. I don't need your stinking link.
Oh, somebody sent it to you?
Yeah.
Probably the same. Okay. Whatever.
It's ObamaIcon. It's not Obama Icon. It's ObamaIcon.
Ah, ObamaIcon.
There you go. Oh, I see. Oh, cool. Oh, okay. All right, man. This is for you and me. This is what we're going to do for our No Agenda album art. This is fantastic. Oh, this
we'll
is great.
We'll do it for the next T-shirt, too.
But send me a picture of you throwing the O.
Oh, yeah. There's an idea.
So we'll both be throwing the O, and then we'll...
I have to get drunk first.
Hey, I'm coming out in a little over a week. We got to plan some dinners.
Where's the connection there?
Because I'm going to get you drunk. I'll get you hammered.
I'll
get you throwing the O. I'm coming out. You're getting drunk. I'm on my way. Hell yeah. Seriously, though, I'm coming out the 26th. So let's plan something for 27 and 29 or 30 or something like that. Not 29. I got a board meeting on 29. 30th. 27th, 30th. I'm flying back the 31st so we could do the show on Sunday.
Anyway, my Skype friend says it's pronounced Michael. It's that simple, even though it's spelled odd. So, anyway, back to the German measles thing. That reminded me of something going on in the States. At least it was at least last week. I haven't seen much of it this week. An outbreak all over the country. At least news stories cropping up everywhere. Almost
of German
as though
measles.
They were planted. No, rabid raccoons.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Like rabid raccoons all over the place. And there was a, you know.
But aren't most, don't most raccoons carry rabies with them anyway? At least that's what I was always told. It's, oh, man, you don't want to get bitten by a raccoon because, you know, then you have to go get a rabies shot.
No, not that I know. If they have rabies, they act weird. They come out during the day. They challenge you. You know,
to what? To a duel? To five-card stud? What are these animals doing?
To a biting contest.
Right. So what? So one, what is an epidemic story, of...
Hundreds. There was the story. The one story in one of the newspapers says, if you see a raccoon, because apparently they'll attack porcupines, with porcupines... things
spikes,
stuck all over his face,
quills,
and nose and body. Stay away.
That would be the clue, wouldn't it? If, hey, he's got porcupine quills sticking out of his face.
And then the last item I had on my list of three says new consumer product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Did we have some kind of brilliant idea?
I must have had something that was so, it was must have been so profound.
We should end the show, but then not stop recording because we wind up in trouble that way. Because it sounds like we had a billion-dollar idea there.
Yeah, it was so profound that I didn't feel the need.
To even write down what it was about.
Yeah, because it was so profound, obviously. Because I've come to the conclusion that's the way I take notes. That I've always believed that if I just write down the general, you know, something general about it because I don't need to put the details on because it's so profound, I never remember what it was. So that's a tip for you note takers out there. Don't do that.
Mm.
So I don't know.
I can't remember either. I really can't.
So, okay, now your list.
Mm. Well, let's start with fantastic water landing, nice ditch by the pilots of U.S. Airways in the Hudson River. That was pretty spectacular this week.
Right.
And
of course, then they immediately sequestered the guy and gave him drug testing.
Well, yeah, dude, he's been like, it's like, oh, he's just a quiet guy, you know, because what they're doing right now is telling him, this is the story, this is what you must repeat, this is what happened, this is how it went, there were a flock of geese, flock of geese, flock of geese, which is totally possible, but I've been, you know, aviation stories interest me since I'm an aviator. And here's three things I want to know. One, I did not see any, you know, when you have these migrating flocks of birds, and geese is like the worst kind, obviously, there's a lot of warnings that go out. I mean, there's NOTAMs, which means notice to airmen. And you know, you anywhere you're flying, air traffic control is going to be all over this all the time. They'll say up to 4,000 feet, you know, you got migrating birds, and they're real careful about it because if you really do run into a flock of anything, almost depending on size of aircraft, yeah, I mean, it's messed up. Can't find any of it. They say that he declared an emergency, which I'm sure he did. Now, I've got, you know, I'm a member of all the ATC stream sites where you can listen to air traffic control all day, which is kind of on the same level of interest as your wrestling fascination. And I can't find any recording anywhere, or, you know, archive not online, stuff like that, or, you know, there is no archive. So I'd just like to know if the actual circumstances were there, because it was so quick, you know. It's like, oh, it was a flock of geese. And I'm just not seeing any official reports, and there's definitely questions in the aviation world as to, okay. Second, when you have an airplane in this kind of trouble for 6 minutes, you would have expected, certainly around New York, that there would have been something scrambled, or you would have read that someone was put into action, but none of that. And for the greenies out there, did he dump all his fuel? Because I presume that, you know, he took off heavy, completely loaded, had to have dumped tons of fuel into the Hudson, I guess, in order to keep this thing floating. Because, you know, that's the only reason I can see why the airplane floated, is because he had dumped his fuel.
Well, there's two things about that they did talk about. One is that kerosene is lighter than water, so that's not necessarily going to sink it. But the
But I think safety precautions, if you have enough time, you're instructed to dump your fuel.
Right, and they'd have to be dumping it right over the bridge because he went right over that bridge.
Yep.
And which doesn't sound like a good idea. And they also, the Airbuses have a special feature, unlike the Boeing planes, where they lock up the, you push a button, and it locks up the cargo and all these. There's apparently like a bladder or something inside, and they just, it
really?
Locks air. Yeah, you can look this one up.
Mm.
And it was like a big deal because according to one of these, my wife was listening to the chat in the Seattle area, which has, because the plane was eventually going to Seattle, so there's a lot of people talking on all the talk shows up there.
Mm-hmm.
And some pilot called in talking about this feature of the Airbus that it could seal off the bottom, so if there's a water landing, the plane can continue to float.
Yeah,
because you can't bust up the bottom. And he was commenting that when this feature was developed, everybody in the industry were laughing at it, thinking, what a stupid idea. Like, that's going to do any good.
Right.
I mean, what's the point?
And there you go.
And so meanwhile, now they're all going, wow, that's cool.
And so what I missed, that no one came out with a life preserver on. No one put it on.
I know. That's why I blogged that picture that's going around.
No one's got their life preserver on. And where
is that all?
And you know the placard, the card in the seat back in front of you, it always has the beautiful slides that are like inflated. None of that. They inflated one of those rafts. It overturned and then floated away. I mean, this when it comes to the water landing, the water landing itself, fantastic. I mean, great job. The plane didn't disintegrate. I mean, hallelujah. But
right, they showed on CBS. They showed some of the other attempts to make water landings, and it's just like so rarely successful.
Yeah.
And they showed this one where it looked like, but the guy.
No, I'm sorry. I have to correct you. That is not true. 90% of water ditching is very successful. I mean, everyone walks away or lives. So that's not true.
Well, that's the way they portray.
Well,
it.
Of course, because what they're showing that 747 that the wingtip hits
right,
the water
and
it goes cartwheeling. Yeah, but it was hijacked. You know, the guy, there were like hijackers in the cockpit and the pilot just lost control at the last moment. But still, this is an Airbus 320, has a much lower approach speed. In fact, you can fly it right up to the stall speed. So that's about 150 miles an hour, which seems fast. But for an aircraft that size, it's not.
Right.
Whereas a 747 has a much higher speed, but there's actually they've released a video now. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a stationary camera on the Hudson, and you see the plane just as it's hitting the water. That thing comes to a standstill within a plane length. You know, it's like, and the engines, of course, got ripped off immediately there at the bottom of the Hudson. So, you know, when you're doing it with an aircraft smaller, that's when your chances are larger. But still, it's 90% because these statistics are known. Of all water ditches are successful.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Anyway, yeah, nobody came out with their life vest, which I still think is somewhat baffling. And the other thing is that what did cause this problem if it wasn't the birds, if there was no evidence of birds?
Well, I just like the evidence. I'm okay with it sounds very believable, but, you know, when there's birds, a big flock, that's a real fluke. You know, that's a real, and this time of year, I mean, there's just a lot of things. I'm like, well, I'm not looking for a conspiracy. I'm just saying I want to know more because I'm really interested, and always
takes
months.
I think
it
would be nice if we knew who was on board that maybe someone would like to.
I do know there were several Bank of America executives on board, actually.
Well, that makes sense since they were going to Charlotte, which is where Bank of America is headquartered now.
On the very same day that Bank of America received another 20, 30 billion?
Yeah, something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of suspicious.
I like the flight tracker, flightaware.com. So it has departure time scheduled 3:04 p.m. Eastern, actual departure time 3:26, arrival time estimated 4:38, actual 3:32. Flight time, duration of flight, 6 minutes. It's great though. You see the whole dog leg, and you can see there's a point where he completely deviates from his track, and I think that's his decision point. But it doesn't have an altitude or anything. I'm just interested in, you know, with all types of mishaps, you know, you just want to know what happened because you learn from it. But it's with most mishaps, you're always hearing. you know, we don't know the exact problem yet. But yet, well, how come I can't hear a record? I mean, this stuff is recorded, you know, these all air traffic control. It would be cool to hear it.
Well, let's go back to the theory that these bankers were like a target of some sort. And let's say, and I'm not believing any of this, by the way.
Well, I have an article here about it. Hold on a second.
Just for the purpose of argument.
Yeah.
If you wanted to not kill these bankers, but you wanted to scare the crap out of them or to show that you could kill them.
This is a good one.
You'd put him on a plane with the absolute best pilot in the world.
Which he happens to be. This guy is the guy, right? He's highly decorated pilot.
He teaches how to ditch a plane.
Yeah.
And so you put him on that plane and then, scare the crap out of him. And then see what happens if they play ball. They may have been reluctant to. I mean, they already showed a little reluctance to buy the Merrill Lynch. So, just saying.
I like it. John, I love it. Here's an article. Hold on a second. There's something about it. From Nation and World. What is that? Some commie rag, John? No, wait a minute. Seattle Times. Yeah, commie rag. Oh, just got to load it for a second. Well, it's loading very slowly. Someone must really like it. Oh, here we go. Darren Beck, doesn't say much about, there was a Joe Hart, salesman with investment firm ING, Molly Shugel, Shugel, a Bank of America executive, came to regret her choice of 3-inch heels. Okay.
Maybe that's what it all about. You got to get women out of these 3-inch heels.
That'll teach him. Damn it. 5 inches are nothing, damn it. Hey, after change.gov, we now have recovery.gov.
Oh, really? That's a new one.
It hasn't launched yet. But this is for the stimulus package.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be taking more donations for the Obama campaign.
For the stimulus
package. Is that ever going to stop?
No, they keep taking
donations. When are we going to stop hearing Obama giving campaign speeches? Did you see the latest one he gave to his daughters in the form of an Oprah letter?
Yeah, and in Parade magazine, which is distributed door to door around the country. It's like 80 million people read this. I mean, getting something in Parade magazine is distribution to the masses.
Right.
And of course, the private letter that you're going to send to your daughters is published in Parade magazine. I mean, give me a frickin' break. It's one thing to take your future son-in-law to, for his first lap dance, but this just takes it all.
Well, you're a lightweight by comparison to this crowd.
Really, really. I have so much to learn. Hey, man, but I read the stimulus package. And it's pretty interesting, John. There's lots of money to be made.
Well, let's make some. What are we doing sitting here talking to each other?
Well, because
let's
that's the easiest.
Let's talk more action. Let's talk more do.
But I just wanted, so this is the preamble. I don't know if this is intended for civilians to read or if they really think senators and congressmen are complete morons. Because right on the front page, since 2001, as worker productivity went up, 96% of the income growth in this country went to the wealthiest 10% of society. While they were benefiting from record high worker productivity, the remaining 90% of Americans were struggling to sustain their standard of living. They sustained it by borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. And when they couldn't borrow anymore, the bottom fell out. This plan will strengthen the middle class, not just Wall Street CEOs and special interests in Washington. I mean...
Wow, it says that?
This is a front page, baby. Front page. Wow. And
it's pretty bold. It's pretty bold.
Yeah, just a couple things I just highlighted, and if anything strikes you. So first of all, I love the fact there are no earmarks in this package. Well... Not yet. Exactly. The whole point of an earmark is it comes after this part. But the executive summary says there will be a historic level of transparency, oversight, and accountability. It will help guarantee taxpayer dollars are spent wisely and Americans can see results for their investments. That's what recovery.org is all about. So you can track who's getting what. And I think a lot of the big money is going to energy, $32 billion to transform the nation's energy transmission, distribution, and production systems by allowing for a smarter and better grid and focusing investment in renewable technology. What the fuck does that mean? Is there something wrong with the national grid? Is it not right?
I don't know. Works for me. Why don't you read that again?
$32 billion will go to transform the nation's energy transmission, distribution, and production systems by allowing for a smarter and better grid and focusing investment in renewable technology. I mean, that's just a bunch of horseshit. That's nothing. It means nothing. Renewable technology. What's renewable technology? Like rewritable optical discs?
Wind power.
No, that's under a separate multi-billion-dollar heading.
Well, the most renewable energy that I know of is wood.
No, renewable technology. Renewable technology, not energy.
Technology.
Technology.
Oh,
what's renewable technology?
It doesn't make sense, that word.
What is renewable technology? Get me some of that.
That's a good question. I don't know what renewable technology is.
It's rewritable optical discs.
It's renewable.
It's all new again.
Flash memory would be.
Flash memory. Okay, here's something. Did you know? Fact. For every dollar invested in broadband, as in broadband internet access.
Is this in that same paper?
Yes. I'm just reading verbatim, man. For every dollar invested in broadband, the economy sees a tenfold return on that investment.
What?
It says it.
How do you document this? Most of the investment in broadband, in my regards, makes me spend more time wasting time on the net, surfing the web.
Well, we need to put scientists to work. That's not you, by the way, people. That's not you. We need to put scientists to work looking for the next great discovery, creating jobs in cutting-edge technologies, and making smart investments that will help business in every community succeed in a global economy. For every dollar invested in broadband, the economy sees a tenfold return on that investment. So, John, there's
And it says who?
The president, the office of the president-elect, bonehead. Now, this is an actual document from the House, okay? This is the actual plan that has been submitted.
Yeah, I just like the way they throw, people just throw out these stats, these statistics, and there's no documentation to indicate.
Well, of course not, which is why I bring it up. I hope I'm starting to piss you off. So anyway, yeah. $10 billion will be going to science facilities, research, and instrumentation, scalpels and stuff, and $6 billion... $6 billion to expand broadband internet access so business in rural and other underserved areas can link up to the global economy. Then there's a whole bunch of stuff about roads, bridges, transit. $10 billion for transit and rail to reduce traffic congestion, which seems like nothing. $10 billion is nothing in the train world. Oh, here's my favorite. $20 billion for health information technology, which I presume will be renewable. To prevent medical mistakes, provide better care to patients, and introduce cost-saving efficiencies. Now, they tried this in the United Kingdom with the National Health Service. And this thing is already, I think, £3 billion over budget, does not work, is not implemented. It's an albatross for the Labour Party. And this is like the world's largest IT project. This always fails. You get all these big contracts and Oracle and Microsoft, and everyone tries to work together, and they all mean well, and it's always years late, billions over budget, and by then we're dead. Doesn't matter anymore. But I just thought $20 billion who's that going to?
I don't know, but I think we have to find some way for it to go to us.
Here it is, reliable, efficient electricity grid. It's another one. $11 billion for research and development, pilot projects, and federal matching funds for smart grid investment program to modernize the electricity grid, making it more efficient, secure, and reliable, and build new power lines to transmit clean... build new power lines to transmit clean, renewable energy from sources throughout the nation. Because we don't want no dirty power. We want clean power running through a clean new grid. I'm just amazed. I didn't know the grid was in trouble.
Apparently it is.
And $2 billion for the Advanced Battery Loan Guarantee and Grants Program to support
what?
U.S. $2 billion... This is great, man. You'll love it. For the Advanced Battery Loan Guarantee and Grant Program to support U.S. manufacturers of advanced vehicle batteries and battery systems. Because America should lead the world in transforming the way automobiles are powered.
Well, you know, that was early on, it was predicted that, in fact, I remember watching some talk show 6 months ago with some people from Detroit. Discussing the fact that these cars are all going to be electric. You know, the whole hydrogen thing was a smoke screen. That's never going to happen in a million years. But they all, you know, paid lip service to it. But behind the scenes, this electric car idea was what everyone was kind of gravitating toward. Nobody wants to talk about the mess.
Yeah, but we just gave all these. Yeah, and of course, what happens when the batteries are gone, right? But we just gave these guys billions of dollars. Now we're going to give another $2 billion to figure out how to do the batteries. I mean, they've been pulling their PUDs for all these years.
Yeah, it's a giveaway. It's a giveaway.
The whole thing is. And this kills me. $300 million for grants and loans to state and local governments for projects that reduce diesel emissions. Diesels burn so fucking clean these days. They're trying to get rid of diesel.
I know. First, they started requiring so-called low sulfur diesel, and then that's what jacked up the price of diesel. If you go to the pumps, you looked up there during the heyday of the bullshit oil prices, and you look at there and you go, why is diesel more expensive than premium gasoline when it used to be, you know, the price of regular or cheaper? And so then, you know, somebody, well, it's because of the diesels being, you know, has to have special, you know, low sulfur. All right.
I guess when I'm, you know, I could read through this whole thing and there's 600.
I don't know why they're trying to get rid of diesel. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, because they're clearly going for the whole electric vibe. You know, this is what all these guys invested in. You know, this is what Kleiner Perkins built their green tech fund for everything I'm reading here.
Yeah.
Everything. Well, of course, John Doerr is will be at the inauguration. I think he's actually on stage at the inauguration.
No.
Oh, yeah. One of, you know, those side seats. Dude, he's way deep inside.
Yeah, I know he's a big – he managed to get them to – he got a lot of money for him.
Yeah.
And he's trying – I know he's always been angling for a Democrat to get in so he can become an ambassador. I mean, he was hoping to be Secretary of State or something like that. Maybe he'll be the technology advisor because they're going to move that other guy to the FCC or something.
John Doerr would be a great person for that job. But I also think it would be – why don't we get him the ambassadorship in the Bahamas? Because, you know, then we can go visit.
Well, let's make it someplace more interesting than that.
Well, it's nice and warm. They got beaches. Well, where do you want it to be? Well, never mind. I'm not that interested.
I think you should be the ambassador to France.
Here it is. Wireless and broadband, $6 billion.
If Doerr, who we both know, becomes the ambassador to any place, he won't even give us the time of day.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So NASA, $600 million. Now we're paying for NASA that way. Biomedical advanced research and development, pandemic flu, cybersecurity, $900 million to prepare for a pandemic influenza. $900 million, $1 billion to prepare for something that has killed 150 people in a decade. Support advanced development of medical countermeasures for chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear threats, and for cybersecurity protection at Homeland Security. You know, what I'm seeing is, apart from about $50 billion, nothing is going into people's pockets. It's all going into, and the small business combined isn't even $800 million, what they're throwing into small business. But all these billions is all going to big companies. This is my favorite. Transportation Security Administration Explosive Detection Systems. $500 million to install aviation explosive detection systems in the nation's airports, improving security and making life easier on travelers by speeding security lines.
Well, of course, they can only put those things in the big airports. So, and there's so many feeder airports that if you wanted
to
get past...
But what is it? Can't you just get a fucking dog? Just put the dog there. The dogs are great at this. You don't need $500 million. Get a dog at every airport to sniff the luggage. That's what they do.
Actually, the dog probably does a better job.
That's what I'm saying. Dogs are fantastic at sniffing out anything, really.
I always like, you know, every once in a while, I was in Seattle recently, there's a guy with his dog, you know, wandering around. It's always hilarious because the dogs look like they're having a great time.
They love it, of course, because, you know, they're like, oh, I got to get me some explosive. Smells like bacon.
And so they're roaming around, and it's like, I always ask the guy what kind of a dog it is. I say, is that a bomb dog, a fruit dog? There's the three kinds. There's a drug dog, a bomb dog,
and a fruit dog.
And a fruit dog.
Yeah. The fruit dog you can always recognize by his tutu.
And so, anyway, and they always like, oh, yeah, he's a bomb sniffing dog. You know? Oh, cool. And, you know, and he's going around, he's sniffing, you know, he's not finding anything.
Hey, something great for you in California, which you'll be very happy with. $850 million for hazardous fuel removal and other efforts to prevent wildfires on public lands.
What?
I know how to pick them. $850 million. That's almost a billion, John. For hazardous fuel removal and other efforts, to prevent wildfires on public lands. Let me finish the marketing spin. I'm not done yet. Making these investments today will create jobs in the short run, but also save long-term costs of fighting fires in the future.
Yeah, jobs in weeding, it's called. So basically, these new jobs they're creating.
Yeah, weeding.
Stupid labor. Weeding.
Weeding. But that's 800. Okay, so it's split up between $550 million for state and local volunteer programs. So you volunteer, but someone's getting paid.
Yeah.
$550 million for hazardous fuel reduction efforts. It's you don't even have to succeed, just make an effort, which states and communities have determined are of the highest priority. And then the Federal Forest Service wildfires, I'm sure they need a lot of money, so $300 million to them. So it's very comprehensive, but I just do not see a lot for, you know, there's some things in here that are extending COBRA. Well, we'll see. You know, this is just the first pass of it. This is what's going in. $20 billion to provide nutrition assistance to modest-income families and to lift restrictions that limit the amount of time individuals can receive food stamps. Well, you're going to be needing that, folks. I'll be very happy that's in there. More food stamps.
So they're going to add $20 billion to the food stamp program.
Yeah. Well, they're really extending it, I think, is what they're doing. So it may not be hard cash outlay immediately, but they're going to extend it so you can stay on food stamps longer. But I urge all of our listeners to download this stimulus package. I think I should just groan every single time. Stimulus package. So you know where your money's going.
Yeah, down the toilet.
Did you watch any of the financial services hearings or any of the confirmation hearings?
No, I should have. I like to watch that stuff too. It's unfortunate I missed it all.
There was, let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, this is it. You know Congressman Alan Grayson? You ever heard of him? So you want to listen to something for a second? Hear him grill?
Yeah, let's play it.
Okay, he grills the Federal Reserve Vice Chairman, and what he's going after is, remember we talked about this, that there's been $2 or $3 trillion that was handed out to banks But the Federal Reserve refuses to tell the public which banks.
Right, because they don't want to tell you which banks are in trouble.
Well, exactly. So let me see if I can get this going here. So here he is. This was earlier this week. And by the way, Barney Frank, who's the chairman of the Financial Services Committee, what a dick.
Oh, yeah, he's terrible.
What
I'm surprised. You know, there's just another example of where New Yorkers are screwed up by continuing to reelect people like this. This is the guy who
they were running a prostitution ring out of his house while he was being screwed by rent boys. You know, the guy does have a little bit of history of weirdness. Let's listen to
you've it. Mentioned several times today in your testimony the importance of transparency. Can you explain why that's important?
I think the committee has talked about that several times, that it wants to see a strategy for how money's being spent and understand how it's being spent and have reporting.
He's totally setting him up. You got to listen to it.
Back from institutions that it's being used for the purposes desired, and so in order to give assurances to Congress and American taxpayers that it's being used for the appropriate purposes, we want greater transparency and accountability.
Is it fair to say that when hundreds of billions of dollars of the taxpayers' money is being spent, the taxpayers have a right to know how?
Yes.
Mr. Cohen, how much has the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve increased since September 1?
It's increased from around $800 billion to about $2
trillion. And what was that money spent on?
That money was lent. It was lent to banks, investment banks. It was spent on lending through the commercial paper market, and it was lent to foreign central banks that lent dollars to their banks to take pressure off the U.S. dollar market.
So he's literally admitting that we gave money to foreign banks, which trips me out.
So it wasn't spent, it was lent.
Which institutions received it, and how much for each institution?
I don't know which specific institutions received it, but by categories of institutions, that's captured in our balance sheet that we publish each week.
But we would like that in writing, Mr. Cohen.
There's Barney Frank going, he's interrupting because this is the big point.
Sorry, what in writing, Mr. Chairman?
So he immediately interrupts this dick.
To that question.
Okay. But I think I would... you're going to hold a hearing on this, Mr. Chairman, and I think I would be very, very hesitant to give the names of individual institutions. In fact, I think it would be a very bad idea because I think it would undermine the utility of the facilities that we're giving. But I think we should say more about the categories of institutions.
Mr. Cohen, you just said that $1.2 trillion has been lent or spent, as the case may be. That's $4,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. Don't Americans have the right to know how you spent that money?
Yes, they have every right to know the purposes for which we spent it, the types of spending, the types of lending that's going on.
Oops, Freudian slip.
All the types of collateral we're taking and what we expect to accomplish with that.
All right. Well, specifically, I'd like to know how much was given to Credit Suisse and what you got in return. How much was given to Citibank, what you got in return. If you put out $50 billion to Credit Suisse, the taxpayers need to know that.
I'd be very concerned, Congressman, that if we published the individual names of who was borrowing from us, no one would borrow from us. The purpose
that's
of
the,
our
here
borrowing
comes the setup.
Is not to support individuals.
He's going
to
slam it home now.
To support the credit markets.
Has that ever happened? Have people ever said we will not take your $100 billion because people
never,
will find out about it?
We said we will not publish the names of the borrowers, so we'll have no test of that.
Well, what gave you the authority to say that? Isn't that something that we should be deciding, not you?
I think you gave us the responsibility in the Federal Reserve Act to oversee the stability of the financial system through our lending facilities to be the lender of last resort, and we are trying to execute that to the best of our abilities.
And you're saying that that entitles you to keep secret the expenditure of $1.2 trillion, $4,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country.
I don't think we're keeping it secret. I think we're releasing a lot of information about it.
Nah, it drives me crazy. So, but that's the whole thing. He's saying the Federal Reserve Act, which was enacted in 1913, you know, these are private banks. This is not part of the government. They just got a contract And this guy, I like this Alan Grayson. He's right on, man. He goes on. He smothers this guy. But what really pissed me off is, so the number one question comes up, and we all know the question is going to be, who did you give the money to? And he goes on and he says, what kind of assets did you receive? Well, I'm not going to tell you that. Were they marked to market? Well, no, they weren't. Well, then why don't you just make it public so we can actually put a market value on that shit and we know what we've got? I mean, this is, the guy is right on. And it's just, and then, of course, we look at the news, and it's all about
Canada. And, of course, giving American taxpayer money to foreign banks.
Foreign banks, man. How can you even just skip over that one? Oh, it's to save the system, to save the entire system.
Yeah, the foreign banks, they like...
So I read a fantastic quote, which you will love. I saved it. Hold on a second. Here it is. This was, let's see if I have a date on it. It's only not long ago. This is a quote from the Honorable Dr. G. Gono, who is governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe.
Mm.
And he's talking about, first of all, Zimbabwe just issued their first $100 trillion banknote. Which now we have to go after that as well, John, because we only.
I've got people that are trying to get me to beat you on this one because you beat me on the $100 billion note.
Yeah,
but the $100 trillion is what we have to get now.
So you're okay. Well, anyway,
I'm on it.
So I want to get. I'm just gonna get the quote here for a second. Okay, so what he's saying is, it's interesting to see that the United States and United Kingdom's governments are going down exactly the same path we went. Here in Zimbabwe, we had our near bank failures a few years ago, and we responded by providing the affected banks with the troubled bank fund, which is exactly what they're talking about now, exactly what TARP and what this new bank that they're setting up is going to be. For which we were heavily criticized even by some multilateral institutions who today are silent when the central banks of the UK and the USA are going the same way and doing the same thing under the very same circumstances, thereby continuing the unfortunate hypocrisy that what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. So there's your future, ladies and gentlemen. Go look at the $100 trillion note and get used to it. it just amazes me, you know. Have you been watching CNBC at all, John?
No.
God, man, you really should make an effort to watch Squawk Box. It's probably pretty shitty because it comes on really too early for you on the West Coast.
Like 5 a.m. or something for me on the West Coast here.
My God, I mean, they're just.
I can record it though. I can record.
You
it.
You should, because now they're just yelling at the government. What's the guy, Mark, the pudgy guy? He literally is like. He lost it maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, and he's like, I can't believe this government. People who can run businesses are getting screwed, and they're giving billions, no, trillions of dollars to complete morons. He's like yelling on the show. It's just fascinating to watch. And of course, he's absolutely right. Shipping rates hit zero. Shipping rates from Asia. It's free shipping. So if you order a container, free shipping. That's how this is.
Where did you read this story?
This is in the Telegraph.
Wow.
Charles Trek, broker at Transport Trackers in Hong Kong. We have seen trade activity fall off a cliff. Asia to Europe is an unmitigated disaster.
There's a couple things.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I want you to finish, but I was coming back from San Francisco and a container ship was coming through, about half empty, with a bunch of empty stalls in it. And they come, there's not what, like, they drop something off someplace before they get to the Oakland.
No.
And so it was coming through and I saw that. And then the other day, from where I can see the train tracks way down the hill, and there was a train pulling those cargo containers. And I always like to look at the tracks as an economic indicator, because sometimes they store cars there. There's all kinds of things you can pick up on.
Yep.
Goes by. I've seen this train before. It goes by every day at a certain hour. I mean, I don't obviously catch it every day, but I didn't see it for a few weeks. And it goes by probably about 40 cars with four containers each, and perhaps another 50 cars empty.
Empty. Yeah. I mean, it's the supplies are just stopping. Well, it's shit, man. The Honda has now extended the closure of their UK plant to April or May, I think.
So we're stopping by. We finally given up on the buying crap from China in a nonstop manner.
Well, this is specific. This reports on Korea, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, not quite entirely China. A report
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll just give you some more data points. A report by ING yesterday said shipping activity at U.S. ports has suddenly dived. Outbound traffic from Long Beach and Los Angeles, America's two top ports, has fallen by 18% year on year, a far more serious decline than anything seen in recent recessions. This is no regular cycle slowdown, but a complete collapse in foreign demand. So it's both ways.
So here's what I'm thinking. If their shipping is free, let's buy a bunch of stuff and have it shipped over here.
Exactly. It's like the early days of Amazon. You know, it's like get free shipping.
Free shipping. I mean, if we had a couple of people in Hong Kong or around anywhere, I mean, we can ship
for free.
Over.
It's just no one wants to buy our shit. We'll have containers full of free shipped shit.
Well, I think we should be buying stuff for ourselves. What we'll do is we'll create a buying club.
Oh,
in other words,
yes.
We'll get 100 people and we all want to buy like some, you know, whatever, you know, art, antiques. I don't know.
A Korean whatever bride. Put them bitches in a container.
And load up a container with some of this. It doesn't even have to be full, obviously.
No, it doesn't make any difference. You know what? We could just ship over one item in a container.
Free.
Oh, man.
And the guy's opened the thing up. He says, what do you got here? I bought a pen.
But look, it has a laser. And this is what we talked about weeks ago. It became difficult for the shippers. And you were surprised when I gave you this news, but it turns out to be pretty true. It became difficult for the shippers to obtain routine letters of credit at the height of the financial crisis over the autumn, causing goods to pile up at ports, even though there was a willing buyer at the other end. So it's a double whammy. So they had buyers. They couldn't ship it out. Now the buyers are gone, and now they're just stuck with shit that they can't get rid of. Damn.
Well, the lack of letters of credit probably did somebody a favor.
Yes, but not for manufacturing, which, of course, is relatively important.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah. The net closes even tighter. The Germans, now by law, all internet traffic will be filtered to protect the children.
Oh, it's always the children.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's specifically the children.
So they did the test. You know, there's a guy in Finland that's making a big stink. And so, because in Finland, they're going to protect the children with a watch list. And so this one guy has been researching it. I can't remember his name. I'm sure somebody else, it doesn't take much to find it. It finds that the watch list, the ban list is bullshit. There's like one, two, three, maybe potential overseas, you know, U.S. based child porn sites, which, you know, we should probably crack down on.
Which
ourselves.
It seems relatively easy to crack down on an illegal website, you know.
Yeah, especially
and
when they're on a list.
This shit is underground. It's not really publicly accessible. It's, you know, it's underground. In fact, it's at most departments of justice. These are the true people who I believe are the ones that are the actual child molesters.
Well, so this guy finds that this list is a bunch of like lists, mostly as typical, political. It's like, you know, something about.
Of course, it's political.
It's all political banning, but they're under the guise of child porn.
Yeah.
So, what do you think happens to this guy?
He gets. Oh, wait. Let me guess. Either A, he took too much Tylenol. B, his plane crashed. C. There was a robbery where he was shot in the face. Any of those?
No, he gets investigated for being into child porn.
Oh, of course. Oh my God, I forgot that one. That's actually the first thing they do. You're right. Jesus. Well, so let me just say to the listeners that you have to understand that the reason we have to fight this type of idiocy is because once the filters are installed, then the only fight is what's on the list. And that is, you know, they just ramrod that. You know, they ramrodded a third runway at Heathrow yesterday, and the country went fucking berserk.
How did they do it? I thought that
they didn't even have a debate. They just it was just like it's one guy got so pissed off he picked up the holy scepter or whatever it is. There's the mace, I think it's called, which lays on the table in the middle between the you know the government and the opposition parties and the shadow party whatever, and that represents you know the all the power of government. That mace that is the power given by the people. The guy walks over, picks it up, and takes it back. Takes it back to his seat. And then he got named, which means they call out your name and your shame, and he's been banned for 5 days. But he was so... He said, we were promised a debate. We didn't even get a freaking debate.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what they're going to do with the extra runway anyway. They're not going to have enough traffic there to need it.
I disagree.
Okay.
Of course, you know, it's about the hub traffic. It's not about what they need now. It's about what they'll need in 10 years from now if they don't want to lose out to Frankfurt. And Amsterdam is still a player, but they also have their problems. But Frankfurt and Munich, they're becoming the big hubs. And what you're going to see is that when people need to go somewhere, they no longer will stop in London. They're going to stop in Frankfurt. And there is a huge economic risk in that. And that's just aviation. I mean, that's just how it works. You know, right now, if they all they'd have to do is allow for more movements at Heathrow, and they could reduce pollution, is what I'll call it, because most planes at busy times are circling for 15 to 20 minutes above London. You know, if you just allow for more movements, which is not, you don't need another runway for more movements. You can have more movements. You really can. You can do more, but they won't even allow that. So. And all the greenies are out, and it's a huge, you know, and then celebrities are buying up pieces of land where the runway would be. Yeah, that's a good idea, but...
So what's the... how come Paris never became a hub for all this traffic?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind. Strikes.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah, bingo. You got it. I was going to say French, but that makes as much sense.
Well, I guess that's it for this week. Do we have anything that we missed? Do you have anything else on your list?
I think I got one or two more things. Press TV. How do you regard them as a news source? That it's Iranian. Ooh. I think it's an Press TV. I think it's an Iranian news organization.
Yeah.
So you're not familiar with them?
I may have run into it once in a while, but it's nothing I follow. I don't see it as a source for me.
Well, they've got pretty extensive coverage of stuff. And here's something that caught my eye. Man arrested for Obama assassination plot.
We didn't get that news.
Of course not. A man has shall I give you the details?
Yeah, send me the link while you're at it.
Well, okay, and then I won't read it. So our listeners screw themselves. Go find your own damn link. Hold on.
No, I just want to send
you the link. I'm just trying to find my Skype window. Where the hell is it?
Jeez. It's usually on the screen.
No. I removed the big chat window because it's a pain in the ass. Hold on. Where are you? Here we go. Let me send you that real quick. Bada boom. Okay. A man has been arrested for threatening to assassinate the U.S. president-elect, saying Barack Obama appointed Jews in key posts. The Secret Service took 42-year-old Stephen Joseph Christopher into custody in Brookhaven, Mississippi, Friday on charges of threatening to kill Obama. And I love what this guy says. It's not because I'm racist that I will kill Barack. It's because I can no longer allow the Jewish parasites to bully their way into making the American people submit to their evil ways. But I'm not racist.
This guy's just nuts.
Yeah.
Obama's a puppet of the Jews?
He snapped.
Yeah, he did, obviously.
And Microsoft now getting fined again by Neelie Kroes.
Oh,
going after
she's
him again.
Relentless, that woman.
Going after him again for $450 million because...
Hey, they got a pot of money, you might as well steal some of it.
Might as well get some of it, right?
It's basically the cost of doing business in Europe. Now it comes really with is. A hefty fee.
And for the John and Adam Reading Club, I have not read this book, but I read a review which I kept in the Financial Times. Maybe you've seen it, John. Niall Ferguson, The Great Liquidity Crisis?
No.
So what caught
my... I should probably read it, though.
Yeah, well, what he's saying is he wrote this book a while ago, I think. But what's happening now, and he's talking about a 94-year cycle, he's saying everything that is happening now is a copy of what happened between the two world wars. And we're doing everything exactly wrong once again. You better get your book out, man.
Well, you know, I still have, yeah. I still have the kind of, I'm not alone in the belief that there's going to be a mini boom.
There's the train. There's the,
yeah, you
the
can 1030. Hear it. Can you hear it?
Yeah, the 1030 just dropped. The 1028.
This is the guy is just constantly
tooting his horn.
There's no reason for him to be honking this horn.
That's the definition of tooting your own horn right there.
Yeah, he's just basically, there used to be a number of years ago, there used to be some idiot that did this about 2 a.m. And then I think enough people complained because there's actually houses down along the tracks. And, I mean, they're not right on the tracks, but I mean, they're so close that this guy honk and he must think it's just hilarious. I don't know where he is. He never showed up. Anyway, so the 30s were, maybe. I mean, there's some. The problem is everything. If you start looking at everything, and I recommend people trying to get an understanding of how fractals work. And you either can read Mandelbrot's material, or you could. There was a really good Nova on this that kind of gave us some perspective.
Yeah, I have read up on fractals. It is really fascinating, and especially when you look at fractals, it can trip you out.
Well, it trips you out anyway. But if you start to see things as self-iterative in some funny way, so everything is kind of always going to be a certain way, and they're going to. And it's going to repeat in a fractal-like pattern, which can be pretty complicated. By the way, I was thinking about fractals. I mean, I just was like, a visual fractal image was I'm at Costco, and there's a young mother holding her young daughter in her arms, and her young daughter in her arm holding a doll.
Right. Oh, gosh. Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at that going, fractals.
Fractal. That's it. Fractal. Yeah, you're right.
All I was missing was the baby, was the little doll. Yeah, the little doll. A baby in her arms.
The baby doll, yeah. So what you're saying is that this is, well, that really the universe and life is a fractal, and that we're now in the 94th year fractal of something of another piece of fractal that came from the French Revolution fractal.
Right. Something like that. I mean, so it's like none of it should be surprising. And when somebody comes up with the observation that this is just like such and such, well, yeah. but everything is gonna always be just like something.
And if you really take that to the extreme and you reverse it, you gotta smoke some weed, then it really works. So that is a fractal of really the Earth, which is a fractal of the universe, which is a fractal of God, I guess. You know, so we're all little pieces. It's like a fern, right? That's what, if you look at a fern, you'll see that the leaves of the fern are exactly the same structure as the fern itself.
Right, but snowflakes are one of the better examples too. But you know, actually, this Nova show had a very interesting thing. A guy decided that forests are fractals, and he could calculate the number of trees in a forest, which is valuable in determining CO2 usage in terms of the carbon credit crap. So he decided that a forest was a fractal, and he could determine the size and the number of trees in the forest by taking a fractal of the forest, in other words, just a chunk, and then iterating it in a fractal-like way. And then they would do this as a test on certain areas, and then actually go out and count the real trees just as a way of doing a census to see if this theory was correct, because who needs to be counting trees, right? If you just take a chunk.
Millions of Obama jobs counting trees.
And it turned out it turns out that forests are fractals. And
$800 million for counting trees.
That could be. Anyway, so it's So people should familiarize themselves with this, with the basic notion
of fractals,
and you start to see things that you can see things a little differently. I think it really helps from a just in a philosophical perspective.
I think it should become a catchphrase of sorts, John. I think that we should be calling fractals on all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I like what you said when you're looking at the mother with the daughter with the baby with the doll, and you immediately say fractal. You know, you should actually. Just like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you go up to the mother and go, fractal!
I'm telling you, when I saw it, it was so cute.
Yeah. It's like a babushka dolls, you know, those Russian dolls. They're fractals.
It's a fractal, exactly.
Fractals are your friend.
Lovely. It's interesting. Eventually, you know, Mandelbrot had some very interesting things to say, including the fact that he was laughed off the stage, basically, when he came up with his theories of fractals and how important
What
they
is
were.
The theory of fractals, and what really
well, the
is
theory,
their importance?
Well, I can't tell you I can't explain the theory. I can kind of understand it before I can explain it.
Okay.
But it's essentially that everything is self-iterative in a way that all nature – and it really refers mostly to nature. It's self-iterative in a way that you can actually formulate a structure that is mathematically accurate. Because no one's ever been able to – there's all these things over time that they said, look, a mountainside, you take a look at it, crumble down, say, you know, you can't – there's no math that can explain what you're looking at. Whereas mathematicians say you can explain everything with math. And fractal theory says no, that's not true. You can explain that with math if you use fractal math. If you look at the way fractals work, you can actually explain these natural phenomena, things in nature like a mountain, with this modeling that this guy's developed. And I mean, what we think of as fractals in the computer business are there's Mandelbrot's little designs that he makes, where he takes one of these formulas, puts it in, and it just starts to iterate and makes this really funky looking thing up.
Yeah,
with
that's
a computer printer.
A screensaver, you mean?
Yes, that kind of thing.
It's a screensaver. This whole theory is based on a screensaver, ladies and gentlemen. I just want you to know that.
And, you know, essentially, now that people are starting to think in terms of fractals, they, for example, the reason, if you don't know this, that's, you know, if you look at a cell phone, a mobile phone from a few years ago, they used to have an antenna. Some of them would come out. All the antennas now are fractal antennas, and they're inside the phone because you don't need an antenna when you have what essentially is a fractal antenna, which is a bunch of little things.
Which comes down to the energy, you know, within the ether, which I'm sure is a fractal, you know, also has these same fractal properties. And that's how maybe we're all connected, or how everything starts to come together as we start to understand all of that.
I'm going to really be saddened when the new age people get a hold of this theory
of the
and they
fractals,
start to come up with their crackpot analysis.
But hold on. But when technologists get a hold of it and start to really understand it, it could be very exciting. We could get some fantastic shit out of this.
Well, that's how we got the fractal antenna.
Right. Yeah, that's exciting. We improved text messaging. That is a good job. That's wait a minute. That should be another $800 billion on the bailout, the stimulus package.
But to come up with a good three sentence explanation of fractals, I think it'd be valuable. I'm sure there's one out there, and I don't have it. But
well, I think you should start getting your material out. I mean, you already announced on Geek Brief TV that you were pretty much going to quit the technology reporting or journalism business. Gig and move on to finance. So you got to get going, man. I think you're going to be great. You know, you've surrounded yourself with the right people, Andrew Horowitz, myself included, and you should get moving on it. You got interesting
viewpoints. If I wasn't such a lazy bastard, I'd be halfway there by now. Well, actually, the thing's almost done. So let me just I'll crank something out shortly.
don't do me a favor. All right.
You don't have to worry about that.
No, I know, dear. Thank you. Love you too. Mean it. Okay. Here's a URL for you. I've seen that. I saw this about a year ago, but it won't go away. It keeps coming back. This is there's two YouTube videos, and you have to look at it, John. This is a doctor who originally was in his
I've seen this a million times.
Well, let me set it up, and then you tell me why it's fake. He was looking for a cure for cancer, and what he winds up doing is he found out, this is what he claims and what he's showing in the videos, that if you aim a frequency beam at salt water at a certain frequency, it ignites, and you can light and burn the salt water. And I have to say, the videos are pretty convincing.
Sure. Well, the only thing missing is Penn Jillette.
Well, why do you think it's not true?
Well, I mean, it's possible that if you put a pulse of energy into anything that is like, let's say, you know, whatever amount of massive amount of energy, you can get a percentage of it to reflect back to you in some way, which is less than the energy you expended to begin with, which means it's a useless exercise. Which I suspect might be going on here.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's so much energy that has to go into creating the frequency that you don't get enough energy back?
Yeah. Mm.
Saltwaterburns.com.
Is assuming that this is not a complete scam, which is what I suspect, actually.
Really?
I mean, saltwaterburns.com. This is where you lose your...
I didn't say, oh boy, I'm buying shares. I just said, hey man, look, John, I got other things to do as well. You know, I could go sit with my wife. We can watch EastEnders. You know, we can watch the repeat
which
of Celebrity Big Brother.
Which reminds me, are you going to set up that sling box?
Yeah.
On a dedicated line anytime soon with the channel controller?
Yes. All I'm waiting for is Virgin to deliver. They still haven't. Yeah, that's typical Virgin. You know, the airline, I love the airline. But when it comes to the cell phone service, they're fucking donkey dicks. And it just customers, it is not the Virgin customer service because it's purchased companies. They bought NTL, the cable company, which everyone knows as NT Hell. They slapped Virgin on it. I must say they did, there are two commercial campaigns running here. One is for Virgin where they have, what's the girl from Thelma and Louise and Kill Bill? Emma, come on, the tall, blonde, beautiful.
What's
her name? Yeah.
What's her name?
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman. Yeah.
So she's doing commercials for Virgin, Samuel Jackson, and really stylized, great commercials. But the one that blew me away is for the insurance company Aviva. And it's a new name. I forget what, you know, they're like First National Insurance, blah-de-blah, whatever their name is. But you're watching television, and all of a sudden you see Bruce Willis in an action scene, and he says, "Well, you know, would any guy named whatever his real name was, you know, Bruce Willenthorpe or whatever, do you think he could become an action star?" And then you see Alice Cooper, and he says, "Vincent Fournier, you know, that's not really a rock god's name." And then Ringo Starr. You know, would anyone, you know, think that Ron Starkey, whatever his real name was, you know, that he could be a huge pop star? And it's like eight celebrities. And you're watching this, you're like, you think it's like a promo for the Oscars or something. And then it's like, sometimes a name change is important. First National Insurance bullshit is now Aviva. And it's just mind boggling. This must have cost millions to put this together.
Huh.
Really one of the better commercial campaigns I've seen in a long time.
Well, so they have better ones over.
So,
over there
long story short, I'm going to get that for you. Once silly Virgin shows up and installs the connection, and then I got the box down here, and I already have the sling box, and then you're going to be good to go, man. Because I'll have I'm trying to get the 50 megabit line.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, they're not sure if they can get me that because of where we are, but the 20 megabit for sure, which is not bad.
Well, so we have a sling box in Detroit. We've got one in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been on Hawaii yet. I usually use Detroit. And
oh, that's Hawaii is pretty funny. If you can get to on the news show, I was watching some news show in one of the stations in Hawaii, and they have a sportscaster or a weatherman. I can't remember which now, who is the size of a house. This guy he's like a Samoan. He is so big, and he sits on the set, and he's like this. He's like takes over the whole set.
He didn't get the Al Roker memo yet. The thin as
in. I mean, it's huge. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. It's just the weirdest thing. You'd only expect to see something like that in Hawaii. But we need somebody with a sling box in Hong Kong or China.
And I'll say it really does help. It's, you know, it's really appreciated because we get more information. You know, we learn more about what's going on and what's perceived as important in local markets. I mean, it's wow, what a difference with the national bullshit that's being spewed.
Somebody would be. It would be good to have Costa Rica. I think would be cool. And
how about Russia? I'll take a Russian sling box. I'll take an Iranian sling box. I'll take a Polish sling box. Polish sling box.
Yeah, the problem is getting stuff in English from some of these. But that doesn't even matter.
I mean, it doesn't really even matter. Just to be able to tune in at kind of, you know, prime time news time, and just, you know, you can see what the stories are. I mean, that kind of works.
So anyway. So the guys that started the Slingbox company, you know, they sold the whole company to Dish Network.
Right.
And they had their 1 year. They had to stick around. So now all those founders are gone. So they're going to come up probably with something else somewhere.
Some new idea, you think?
No. I thought that idea was pretty creative. When I first heard of it, I thought, well, I don't know, is that a good idea? But it turned out to, you know, be very workable.
Well, I think what they should do is they should do more of that community aspect, although I'm sure there's all kinds of legal ramifications that make it difficult. But, you know, this little community that, which is perfect because you and I benefit, no one else does, is beautiful, man. You know, and now, right, what's the guy from Detroit? I forgot his name.
Yeah, we have it.
Is it Detroit or Chicago?
No, it's Detroit. It's across from Canada.
So, you know, I sent him an email. I said, thank you again, man. I just want you to know how much I'm enjoying this. He said, yeah, you know, no problem. Although, you know, my brother-in-law and my sister or whatever, you know, they're moving. And so now they're going to be using it. So you'll have to fight for access. And it's true. And I was like, oh, crap. Someone's already on it. I can't watch.
And, typically people get tired of that. I mean, I only look at it once in a while. I mean, when I want to just look at some Canadian stuff. And but I'm going to have a one probably set up in Port Angeles where we get two or three Canadian stations up there plus Seattle.
Right. And you're going to give me access to that, right?
Yeah. And it'll be off of a fiber optic line, so it'll be like great.
Hot shit. You could set up. This should be able to create more accounts depending on, you know, your bandwidth. I guess that's where the whole legality comes in. You can share it and you can't share it. You can only use it. You know, that would be broadcasting, I guess, technically.
Yeah. It's against. They don't like promoting the idea because there's something amiss. I mean, I think it was funny that the Dish Network bought them in the first place because what they managed to, because, you know, here's the problem I've always, it's irksome to anybody out there who gets a satellite. Why can I buy the local stations off of the Dish Network from the Bay Area where I am or from Seattle where I am, but if I wanted to buy the Seattle stations from down here in the Bay Area, I can't do it. And if I wanted to like buy New York, what if I just wanted a New York local station so I could watch New York TV because I go to New York a lot?
Right.
I can't do it.
No.
And why? And you talk to him, but we can't do it because it's against the law.
Yeah.
Well, why is it against the law? So they come up with, I mean, it makes no sense. And so why? So they came up with this. So they bought the Slingbox, which is kind of a way of circumventing the law. But it's just idiotic that it's against the law. I mean, why is it against the law for me to sit here in the San Francisco Bay Area and watch New York television if I want to?
Well, I think you should put that to the president-elect.
Yeah, well, he'd probably make it worse.
He has reserved $650 million for the digital switchover for coupons.
Yeah, I got my coupons, by the way.
Of course you did. Isn't that for aged people who have no money?
I'm just about to drop.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's you. Aged people with no money. There you go. So you got your coupon. Lovely.
I got my two coupons, and I'll tell you, the thing about them is as soon as you get them, you go, my God, why are they wasting this much money on these things? You get the things. They look like the most advanced high-tech credit card you've ever seen.
It's a credit card?
Yeah, it's a card, a hard credit card with an embossed number, and it's got a big hologram on it.
Oh, this stinks. Oh, this stinks. Scan that puppy for me, man. What the fuck is that? So they've got your name, and now you've got a credit card?
No, your name's not on it. But your name probably is associated with the number somewhere.
It has to be. Yeah, you received it.
And here's what's weird about it. If you want to get one of these boxes, I mean, the selection at the Best Buy and all the local stores sucks. Because if you do any research, you find you want the Channel Master. There's one or two of these down.
No, you get the basic unit. You don't get anything good.
You can get a good one if you go online. And if you go online, they ask you for the card number. So what do I need all the security on the card for if I'm just typing it into a box, ordering it online?
It you get the no hologram. Sense.
They could have given us a barcode and a number, and that would have been fine. It would have saved a couple of bucks per person. I mean, these are the most expensive cards I've ever seen. They're gorgeous, by the way.
Who makes them? Who makes them? I'm sure that who's doing the so. Oh man, what a scam! So someone's made these cards. It's a back end system. Who's the back end system? It's on the card. Do you have the card there?
Well, I don't have the. No, they're downstairs. Like they're around somewhere.
Yeah.
But
you should take a look at that. You should take a look at that.
I'll see if I can figure it out. But I mean, I showed it on the Cranky Geek Show, and I took it to the office and I show people these cards. Nobody, of course, orders them but me.
Yeah.
Because you know, I think it's just it's basically getting some free electronic gear that might come in handy if you have an old monitor.
Hey,
or
can
something.
You put me on Cranky Geeks the 28th?
Probably.
Yeah, I'd like to do the show.
If you assure us that you'll actually show up.
Oh, please, if you assure me that there's actual audio on the fucking show, I'll show up.
So, anyway, so I got these...
You just gloss over that one. You guys lost the audio.
It's a short point.
Who did that? How did you lose the audio? Is this a Mevio production?
It's a sore point with me, so don't...
Just answer the question. Is it because of Mevio production?
Because somebody screwed up.
At Mevio? Well, it has to be Mevio. We're producing it.
Yes.
Do we know the person who screwed up?
Yeah.
Is he fired?
No.
Has he been flogged? Can we humiliate him publicly?
I think he should be flogged, but we will get to that later. Anyway, so...
John, this is what people... They're so antsy. Now they want to know. Just tell me what... I don't need to know who did it right now in the air. What happened?
I don't know what happened. He apparently flipped the wrong switch because the weird thing about it was during the we were streaming the thing and the sound was going out, but for some reason it wasn't being recorded. The video was being recorded and the sound wasn't. I have no idea how you can even do that.
Jeez, Louise. Did you freak out?
I just felt annoyed because it was actually a pretty good show. So, another show will come along. So, yeah, you can be on the 28th. So, I'm dragging these cards around. Of course, nobody, has ordered these cards. And so now everybody, of course, went online to try to get one. I think I don't even going to be able to get one by the end of the year. They have an expiration date on them, too, which makes it even more dumb. So they send out these expensive cards with the hologram and all the security crap like you need it.
So wait a minute. So they also had to put terminals at all these outlets. They had to have card readers.
No, all they do is that. No, but then nobody does. All they do is they just type in that number.
Oh, jeez.
That's the joke of it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I just thought it was a complete waste of government money. This is the taxpayers should be up in arms about this.
No.
But they are cool looking. They're collectible.
They're cool looking. You get to
I'm
take
gonna
it
put
home.
Them in a frame. I'm going to take the whole letter. I'm going to frame it and put it up as an example of government waste.
All right, I'll do one more. We got to go, man. I'll do one more story for you. This is from New York Magazine. An interview with Gene Lang, who's a manager at a hedge fund. And he says, here's how he's hedging on the economy. Preparations in Lang's case include a storeroom in his basement in New Jersey stacked high with enough food, water, diapers, and other necessities to last his family 6 months, a biometric safe to hold his guns, and a 1985 ex-military Chevy K5 Blazer that runs on diesel and is currently being retrofitted for off-road travel. He has also entertained the idea of putting an inflatable speedboat in a storage unit on the west side so he could get off the island quickly, and is currently considering purchasing a remote farm where he could hunker down. If there's a financial system breakdown, it could take a year to reset the system, and in that time, what's going to happen, asked Lang. If New York turns into a scene out of I Am Legend, I want to be ready.
Yeah, these are the guys that are making our decisions in the hedge fund level.
Isn't that amazing?
What a nutball.
Well, apparently there was a lot of discussion about that, about certainly investing in guns and high-speed inflatable boats at the end of 2008. And not just him, but like hedge fund managers. I mean, they're all probably made of the same wood, right, these guys? I just thought that was...
They're all nuts.
Yes, indeed. All right.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, I think... here we go. I think we're done.
No notes for next week.
No, man, we covered everything. And you know what? I think everything went much better because I didn't open up the chat room and the phone bridge and all that shit. Just the stream. With a lot of people. Well, John, that was fun. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
You do it as a public service, I know, but it's still appreciated on a personal level.
We'll have a new T-shirt design next week.
Can it be something with throw in the O? I'm gonna do the ObamaCon thing with our pictures. And listeners, feel free to work on that as well, because I'm not too good with the Photoshops. Wouldn't that be great for a T-shirt? Have the two of us ObamaCon on the front.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to Gitmo Nation. Speaking of such and which and of that, from Gitmo Nation East in Southwest London, I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak here in Silicon Valley North. Known as, I don't know what.
Gitmo Nation West. Northwest. We'll talk to you again next week on No Agenda.